This podcast is supported by The Real Real.
You know what I love most about the holidays? Giving gifts. But not just any gifts. Real gifts. Thoughtful gifts. Oh my God, how did you know gifts? That's why I love gift shopping with The Real Real. The Real Real is the most trusted name in authenticated luxury resale. And it's a holiday shopping secret I'm going to let you in on. Whether it's a surprisingly affordable, pristine condition bag for your BFF, a vintage find that's cool enough for the Gen Zer in your life, or even something your impossible to shop for dad will love. Get used to saying, I found it on The Real Real. Seriously, with over 10,000 new arrivals dropping every day from brands like Gucci, Fendi, Prada, Louis Vuitton, Tiffany & Co., and Cartier, there's guaranteed to be something for everyone on your list. Oh, and did I mention everything's up to 90% off retail?
Get $25 off your first purchase at TheRealReal.com. That's TheRealReal.com to get your $25 off. TheRealReal.com.
The Good Liars.
The Good Liars.
This is boring.
We're boring.
I will die standing in my boots.
Herschel, yeah. I got you some condoms.
What made everyone so weird and sad that they had to come out here?
Oh, Mr. President, welcome to the show.
We are the Good Liars, and we are going to tell the truth. Trust us.
All right, welcome to the Good Liars Tell the Truth. I am Jason Selvig.
And I'm DeVrom Stiefler, and we are the Good Liars.
And we may be the Good Liars, but on this show, we are going to tell the truth. And today, we're going to be talking about day two inside the Democratic National Convention here in Chicago at the United Center. We were there for the dick jokes and all.
That's right. Wow, you're skipping straight to the meat.
Build up to the dick joke, tonight. But that's all I'm going to remember from this. When they go low, we go low.
A little bit lower.
Yeah, a little bit lower. A little bit lower.
Donald Trump has gone pretty low before, but this was a dick joke.
It was a dick joke. But first, DeVrom, I want to talk about, we're staying at a hotel, and there's a lot of people from the convention in the hotel. This morning, I went to the gym, and I was on the elevator, and a guy got in the elevator in a full suit, and he looked like he was coming from somebody's hotel room. He looked like he was maybe
swimsuit,
still...
Swimsuit, huh?
No, a full... I went to the DNC suit. I'm a guy who goes to the DNC suit. He, right when he got in the elevator, the doors open, he saw somebody else was in there. He picked up his phone and started acting like he was on a phone call. And I like saw
Classic
the whole
move.
Thing. Like he was mid phone conversation and he put the phone to his ear and he got in the elevator and he's standing there like faking this phone conversation. Obviously,
what was
walk
he
of shame.
Talking about? Do you remember?
Like where we're going to meet. We're going to meet at this place. Oh, what? No, and that's the wrong room. You're in the wrong room. And then his fly was open the entire time. His fly was open. So, a little bit.
Question is, did you tell him that his fly was open?
He was on the phone with an imaginary person. I couldn't talk to him.
We know last night was kind of a big night for some people. We saw a lot of people going out.
Yeah.
We saw some people in the lobby saying they were about to go get fucked up.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
So we went to bed.
We
were old and went to bed.
And still have not recovered from not sleeping for 48 hours. But... that's something we should talk about, the DNC. It's like, and I'm sure it's the same in the RNC, I'm sure, where we've been like outside of the RNC, not inside. But like, people are buying drinks. Like, people are getting fucked up. That's like a major part of it.
And I think having been outside the RNC, seeing the vibes, and sometimes just straight up seeing people be very drunk walking around.
Yes.
You kind of guess that's what it's like. But it is a party because you're around like-minded people. And we have experienced that feeling a little bit as well. Like, we're around people that probably aren't going to be as upset with us as if we had somehow gotten our way into the RNC.
Yeah.
So there's a certain relaxed feeling to it. We haven't indulged. But you can imagine all these people. This is like all these delegates coming in. This is their party every 4 years. And so they are making the most of it.
And they didn't get to do it for COVID. Yeah. So they're making up for lost time here.
Right. We mean drinks. Drinking.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to go on the record and say, I bet there's other stuff being ingested here.
Whoa.
I haven't seen any evidence of that.
You're talking about lewds.
Yep.
Poppers.
Yep. Poppers. But speaking of parties... I want to talk about being inside during the roll call for the states because that was one of the funniest things I've ever seen.
It's supposed
live.
To be one of the funnest, but it ends up also being one of the funniest.
Who was the rapper who came out for
Lil Jon?
It was Lil Jon?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think we came out right as he was. We came into the arena right when he was.
I think we came into the arena because
yes, that's right. That's right.
He was rocking the crowd. We're like, we're not going to miss this. And yeah, we went into the arena, and what they do is they call each state, and then each state has one or two or sometimes three people who say all the exciting things about their state, home of, you know, corn or whatever.
Right. Right.
Not the band. Maybe the band.
Sorry. Go ahead.
No. But they'll say the famous things. So. So I forget his name, the guy from Rudy.
Oh, yeah.
He's
Sean Austin.
Nice.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Never heard the name, know him so well from Stranger Things and Rudy. So he's doing the thing from Indiana, and he's talking about it, and then maybe he hands it off to some elected official or something. But the mood is an 11 out of 10 with everyone they go to. So it's a group of people, and they're cheering, and their votes are basically being... kind of broadcast. So there would be uncommitted.
Yes.
Every once in a while, there'd be like 4 uncommitted and 26 for Kamala Harris,
the next president of the United States. One woman was like, the next first woman president. Right. And it was
from
like,
Guam.
Was it Guam?
She was the first female governor of Guam.
I don't know.
I think she said her title was governor. But basically, it's this opportunity to, like, you know, be excited about your state, but we were pointing out that the music doesn't always
it was
match
like,
the state.
All right, the next one, it would like come up, the DJ would turn it up. The DJ was a character in and of itself. We were talking to somebody who said he looks like a DJ
from the metaverse.
Which is hilarious. But they would like be playing this music and be like, turn down for what? And then it would be like, Iowa.
Yeah,
like, that's not
you'd
a
have,
song
like,
for
porn,
Iowa.
Porn like blowing in the wind on like these big monitors. And then it'd be like, ooh. Yeah.
It's so wild. The whole thing is wild. The other thing that we did was we spent some time on the blue carpet there, which is
that's
funny.
Right.
It's called a blue carpet because a red carpet would seem like a Republican thing,
right.
And a blue carpet is for Democrats.
That's right.
So that's the difference there. Do you understand it, Tom?
I am starting to.
You're starting to get it.
When I did a couple lines of the movie, She Said,
yeah,
it was also a blue carpet.
How about that?
So I think sometimes you do a blue carpet.
Okay.
Just to show that you get it. Just to show that you're thinking about
it.
You
think about the stuff like that.
Yeah.
But I don't know why I brought that up. But, you know, I guess because... We talked to Wendell, and he did his...
When you say Wendell, like he's our best bud.
He is my best friend.
Yeah.
I consider Bunk is my best friend. Bunk from The Wire is my best friend now. The character, okay. not the actual actor.
That's going to be hard to...
I don't think he considers it... It's going to be hard to convince him more than anyone. But
we spoke with Wendell Pierce.
Yes.
The actor who plays Bunk from The Wire.
Yes, and we saw him in Death of a Salesman.
Some of the blanks hadn't been filled in for you. He was with us on the blue carpet,
and it was. I just wanted to say the blue carpet just because I wanted to say it was a blue carpet, and I thought it was funny. That's the only reason I brought up the whole blue carpet thing.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to talk about some of the speeches that we saw? Because we were inside, and we got a vibe for it. And the first one that we saw in full was Bernie Sanders.
Oh, right. Okay. Gosh, I even forgot about Bernie. There was so much going on.
There was a lot going on.
So Bernie talks in the way that Bernie talks about the people and the top 1% of the top 1%. But he's fun. And to me, he was always so old that he has not aged. He seems the exact same as
really?
8 years ago.
That's interesting. I think we'll talk more about like the shock of seeing, especially President Obama,
someone,
the just how old everyone's gotten. I'd act, and Chuck Schumer too. I was like, oh, Chuck, and he. I mean, they are old. They're old. But I thought Bernie. I was like, oh, he does look older. I know
I think he had the mannerisms of a very old man for so long that it got lost in the time for me.
Oh, I'm sorry. Oh. It got lost in the time for you. That's a terrible Bernie impression. I was trying to get his sarcasm.
He did. He did some sarcastic moment. I would love if I could remember exactly what it was. But we both laughed, and I think some people turned around like, "Are you laughing at Bernie right now?"
It's like I think he's trying to be funny.
Yeah.
So yeah. I'm encouraging him and being a great audience member.
But he kind of gave a speech that was good and was definitely focused around, you know, providing more for people in the country as you would expect him to.
Yeah.
Which made the man who followed him a little bit stark in contrast.
Do you think there was something up there? Because Bernie Sanders goes up there. He's obviously against the billionaire class people.
Right.
And then up next to speak is a billionaire.
Right.
Who even references
J.B. Pritzker, the governor of Illinois. So we're in his home state.
We should watch what we say.
We should
watch
what we fucking say.
One, he's a billionaire.
He's got this whole
has nothing to do with him being a governor.
Right. But so he comes up and he looks, you know, kind of different in a lot of ways. He's just Bernie's a little unkempt in his way. He's just seems kind of raw and like, you know, you get what you get with Bernie. And then JB comes out and he's like all coiffed and he references being a billionaire. And he did it as a dig at Trump. He said from an actual billionaire trying to, you know, say that Trump isn't as rich as he might say he is. But it felt a little weird coming after Bernie, who's like, I'm here for the little guy. I'm here for, and also we will get to the later speeches, but I think it was Michelle Obama who said something about, her mother had passed and that her mother was always skeptical of those who took more than they needed.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so having JB in there, and he was perfectly likable, I guess, for who he was. And, but having him sandwiched in between these people who are talking about the everyday person felt a little strange.
Yeah. I wonder if it, you know, you don't want to read too much in and be a conspiracy theorist about everything. But having Bernie go right before him, I thought was a little weird. And it was the first time I'd seen him
What's
live.
Your conspiracy?
The conspiracy. Well, I guess the conspiracy would be like, why would the DNC put Bernie right before him?
I think they wanted to have him in
They want to make
prominence.
Sure the billionaires forget right away that somebody said they shouldn't exist.
Forget right away.
Yeah.
Yeah. That Bernie clearly doesn't think they should exist. And that he would be, he's like an honored guest. It's his state. He like needs an important spot. But between Bernie and Michelle, is that how it went?
I don't remember.
I don't know. I think they did a good job of burying him a little bit, is what I'm saying.
Okay, so that is the conspiracy.
It was yours, I think.
JB,
if you're listening, that was Jason's conspiracy.
There is like a red dot on your forehead now, like a laser sight.
I'm not going to move. If you move, they panic.
Is that true? It was the first time I saw him, and I will say, I think he warmed up a little bit, but at the beginning, JB had a bunch of energy, and it just felt very, very scripted.
I felt like I was at a circus for a second. I don't know why he felt like a circus guy, like a lion tamer.
Step right
like,
up, yeah, everyone.
It was the most magnificent
show in the world, the Democratic National Convention.
Right, and he said something about Donald Trump, and then he said it. And in the words of Michael Jordan, we took that personally.
Yes.
And it was like
another great Illinois player who played on this very court.
Yeah, it felt a little bit like we were at a goddamn traveling circus.
Yeah, that's true. It was, yeah.
Also, J.B. Pritzker and the Ringling Brothers.
The amazing J.B. Pritzker circus.
Balances an entire motorcycle on his chin.
Step right up. Yeah, it was a very...
But we're sorry, JB. Again, we should say. Please don't
fucking kill us. I do say that I'm more scared of billionaires because just an experience that we had at the RNC in 2016, way back when in 2016, we went to like some like AT&T presents. Oh, no, it was in the aquarium in Cleveland. And it was like women in business thing.
Right.
And there was like the CEO of AT&T or whatever, like the... Yeah. The a VP or whatever, like a big, big person at AT&T and but another before, couple of companies.
Before you get into this, we should say we had been all around and in satellite events
yes.
for politicians for the couple of days before that. Had no issues.
We get there and we are like thinking what we're going to do. Well, we have a plan what we're going to do. It's for the movie Undecided. And then like we are spotted from the very beginning and there's security looking at us. There's two people that like come up behind us. They go up to the camera people, and there's other cameras there. Like it just long story short, we got kicked out before we could do anything right. because the billionaires do not fuck around. And they probably figured out who we are.
Private security that is far superior to whatever
government
jobs that are for these other security details. It was like huge dudes all around us right away.
Yeah.
Knew who we were, weren't taking any guff.
Yeah, and it felt like they knew who we were, and people didn't really even know who we are. Like, well, we could get stopped now and people recognize us. But like back then, it was like we right. were trying to like and be under the radar filming the
these
movie.
These are times where we're filming multiple pranks with politicians like in the same day.
Right.
And then we go to a luncheon at an aquarium that we get kicked out of immediately. So billionaires, if you're listening to the podcast,
please give us money.
Please give us money. But then number also one. Leave us alone.
No. Oh, okay. Yes. All right. So let's get to the main event.
It's like everyone had, you know, the joke a couple years ago was like talking to your FBI agent, whoever's like monitoring you.
Yeah.
So you gotta kind of talk to your billionaire now because they're all just
they're
aware.
They're aware. And yeah. If they want to be, they will be. All right. Let's talk Obama. Let's talk Obama's.
The Obama's family.
Yes. So I want to start this off by saying we've been to so many fucking political events in our time with the Good Liars, and so many of them are so boring. Trump mm-hmm. included, very mm-hmm. boring person, very boring speaker. But we have never seen an Obama live.
No.
Never. Joe Biden several times, Hillary Clinton several times, but never Obama. And
Joe Biden several times?
Well,
trying to think back. Your point yeah. is well taken, though, in that we
guess we're at a Joe Biden event. We didn't
Obama
get inside, yeah.
speak, and we've been at enough political events to shake a stick at, or whatever the fuck it is.
I don't know. Too tired to think about anything. But now we're seeing Michelle Obama come out on stage, deliver a speech, and I will say the energy in the room, like to me, there's the big cheers for Hillary Clinton on Monday night and for Joe Biden when he came out.
Mm-hmm.
But this felt like it was like people were like, could not control themselves and like standing and applauding right. for certain lines.
I have to say they have created this positive, huge energy at this thing that I was curious what it would feel like in here. If it would feel like fabricated
yeah.
too much. This feels like genuine enthusiasm.
Oh, yes.
Unbelievably, like, serious
definitely.
Enthusiasm.
And even for, like, getting seats for Biden, our section was, like, it wasn't half full, but it was probably, like, maybe three-quarters full for Biden.
Right. And that's not to say people didn't want to be seeing the speech and want to be there, but because we're at the top level, it takes a while for people to come up and find all the seats.
Yeah.
It just means, like, an hour before the Obamas were coming up, people were like, oh, I'm not missing this one.
So she had a couple big lines. The big one was black jobs. That the presidency
I'm not
is
sure we
one of those.
Shouldn't let Donald Trump know that the job he's seeking might be one of those black jobs.
Yeah. Yeah.
She had a lot of really good, well written and well delivered lines there.
Yeah.
And I think that the thing that when you have a person like Donald Trump who takes himself so seriously and wants to be feared, being laughed at is kind of like probably like kind of a scary thing for him that this is how the shape this campaign is taking, not like the you know, we're afraid for our democracy, this guy's dangerous. Sure, people are talking about that, but when the whole crowd of, you know, 20,000 people or whatever it is are laughing at him,
yeah,
I think that's kind of probably a scary moment for him in that if he doesn't turn this around, like, you know, he's going to become kind of a joke, a loser joke.
A big loser joke.
Yeah. But
but
it reminds you of the White House Correspondents Dinner many, many years ago, where Obama
zinged Trump,
and that might be the reason we are all here today. So we can laugh at him, but
well, let's move. Is there anything else to say? I will say, Michelle Obama, I thought, like, just being there, in the arena for it. Again, we have made for the first night, we made the effort to go to the last row because we thought it's funny to be in the last row and just see what it's like up there. This time, we didn't really have a choice. We had to go to the last row.
We had to be literally backs against the wall.
Backs against the wall. So it was a big electric speech, I guess. People, you know, standing ovations.
All of that. I haven't watched one of her speeches.
Oh, really?
I've seen so many clips, but to see how consistently good she is at this, it's been a long time since I just watched a speech through.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I thought it was really impressive. I thought, like,
have you heard the stuff about her issues with the Biden, with Joe Biden and stuff in the past, and how she didn't campaign President Obama campaign? There's like a whole
I don't know,
a whole history that
a little bit of a bell.
But it's she gave a very passionate endorsement, obviously, of Vice President Harris, and then introduced President Barack Obama, and first time seeing him live.
O-B-A-M-A, for those out there.
Yes. Yeah. Sorry, I just had to make sure that was right.
Yeah.
So Obama, I'm going to say, I guess, Barack Obama, president, former president.
Let me
Barack,
be clear.
Folks.
Gotta, let like, me be clear.
Dust off other subpar impressions now. He came out, and let's just not bury the lead here. Let's just get into the dick joke. I wanted to say that we're sitting up there. A lot of the people that are up there are press. Other press.
We're press.
We're important. Press. We're journalists. We're up there. A guy next to me was stone-faced the whole time, like taking notes, whatever. And then Obama does
puffing
the line.
Puffing on his vape.
Not that guy. It was a different guy. I don't want to throw this guy. There was a guy who was puffing on his Juul up there, and
I thought someone would say something or something. Can you just do that?
I think you just can do it. Yeah. I don't think so. I think they would probably be frowned upon. But so he's stone faced the entire time. Obama does his little crowd sized joke where he like makes his hands go back and forth like it's a dick. People saw this. People fucking saw this.
You don't think it needs to be discussed?
I don't think it needs
to be
discussed.
Everyone saw it today.
Everyone saw it. But explain it. But I want to see how you explain this because you had your head down.
I didn't miss it. So I was watching out of the corner of my eye.
Right? Okay. The story keeps changing here.
I mean that's what happened. It's never changed.
Let me just say the guy next to me.
Yes.
So he does this dick joke thing. This guy who'd been stone faced lets out a belly laugh, like, and is like looking at me like that was fucking funny.
That's
and
great.
He like hadn't laughed at any other thing the whole time. Like I don't know who he was working for.
He said he might have been like a Post reporter or something.
Yeah,
might have
Post or something, yeah.
But
yeah,
it's just funny to imagine a not-so-friendly reporter, the Post notably like more conservative, being like, oh, we got to give it to him here.
We got to give it to him.
So basically he talks a lot about Donald Trump's like kind of insecurities, all the gripes, the grievances, the grievance politics of the last 9 years. He says since he came down in the golden elevator 9 years ago, that's all we've heard
about. Escalator.
Yes, he said elevator, but
did he?
No.
Okay.
Basically he goes through that, the kind of last 9 years of all these grievances. And then he says that he has a very big, you know, preoccupation with crowd size. We all know his recent comments about MLK's speech and his, crowd sizes, just for some reason, making himself seem shittier than he already did. And then Obama makes these hand gestures that are like big, small for crowd size. But then he kind of looks down at his hands and he makes it like this judgmental look at like a dick sized unit of measurement and makes it just a little smaller. And somehow he's such a good performer that you just knew exactly what it was. It was crowd size big, crowd size small, crowd size big again. And then I think it was dick size small.
Yes. Yeah, yeah. I was just thinking, what can you imagine Biden trying to do that?
You know.
Like this guy, this Jack, he tries to say he's got the biggest crowds. I think he's probably talking about, I did that. Like, wait, what? What are you talking about? I'm saying he's got a small dick. What? Well, Mr. President, no.
I don't think he could have pulled that one off. That took some chops. That took some serious chops.
I did that.
We were laughing about, when the Secret Service tackled Trump during the assassination attempt, we couldn't help but wonder what it would have looked like if four Secret Service agents tackled Biden.
Yeah.
And how
he would crumble.
How he would be gravely injured. So not hilarious, but worth thinking about nonetheless.
I got it. Okay, so we were there. We were inside the DNC. We saw Michelle Obama and Barack Obama. We were talking about pops yesterday. We were talking about wrestling, professional wrestling, the pop you get for certain lines in a speech.
Yes.
Who got the bigger pops?
I think Obama by like 10%, which
one?
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Is that the joke?
I'm letting you decide.
Well, with the way you said that, sounded like it's like thanks Obama, like that would be former President Barack Obama.
I think former President Barack Obama.
He got the bigger ones. I was going to say Michelle,
slightly bigger, but I think that was like by virtue of like he's a little bit more. He's at the end of the night. He's the bigger, theoretically, kind of the bigger guest by just a little bit. And I think everyone is there. The anticipation is high. And I think people naturally, the final speaker of the night are going to give them a little bit more oomph.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I think they both crushed it. It was electric.
Yes. Yes.
And of course, we left a little bit early.
we tried to beat the traffic. This is the inside track from the DNC. Two nights in a row, we've gone out the wrong exit.
Yeah.
And ended up, now there was like the security keeps changing because there's like, you know, former presidents and real, and the current presidents last night, or two nights ago. And they like change where you could walk and all this stuff. We just went the most roundabout way to get
the worst possible way. And you have to imagine 20,000 people are getting out of this arena, and they don't have a plan, really. There are shuttles. We're trying to get 3 miles away, and we know even if things go well, it's going to take an hour.
Yeah.
And then if things don't go well, like last night, it's going to take an hour and a half, an hour and 45 minutes. You and I are arguing with each other.
Yeah, we were bickering.
Fights with each other.
We were bickering like it was like a married couple last night.
I'm following you because you called the car, so I don't know where we are.
I was like, I just got to take a step away and get some air.
And then
he
says, why don't you call another Uber? I'm like, so it can be behind the thousands of people we're watching line up for the Uber? And he goes,
I don't want to relitigate
this. Then I guess we can just do nothing.
Our guy was going the wrong way. He kept going around.
You had beat me calling an Uber by 20 minutes. My Uber was never going to jump the line that was in front of us.
Let's talk about this off of the podcast. I just don't want to air our dirty laundry right now, Dharam, okay?
I think the only way to clean the dirty laundry is to air it.
Okay.
Get it in the
All
sunshine.
Right. Well, that's fair.
Sunshine is the best antiseptic or something.
Yeah, whatever. Okay, so before we go, Dharam, we're going back in tonight. Is there anything you're looking forward to tonight? Tim Walz is speaking. We don't know the other.
Bill Clinton
is Bill Clinton
speaking. Krusty the Clown.
I did not have sexual relations
Democrats.
With that woman. I did not have sexual relations with that woman.
Was that pretty good, Obama? That's
good, right?
Now do Clinton.
We're going to march down to the Capitol. All right, subpar impressions
all
around.
Let me be clear.
Before we wrap up this podcast right now, wrap up this show, Dharam, do you have any words of wisdom for anyone? Don't make it related to the Uber, though.
Give me a second. listen. If you have dirty laundry,
yeah.
Wash it, clean it, hang it up in the sunshine, air it.
Air the
dirty
laundry.
That's the only way.
Let everyone see it.
To clean it out. Let everyone see it. Don't be afraid.
Don't be a coward.
Don't be a coward.
Don't be a fucking coward.
Don't be a fucking coward and on this podcast in front of everyone.
All right. That does it for this episode of The Good Liars Tell the Truth. You can support us on Hero Hero for just $5 a month so we can go to terrible places and fine places at herohero.co/thegoodliars. We'll be back tomorrow with another episode from the DNC here in Chicago.
The DNC.
Now we got another thing to fight about. We'll see you next time.